What's the picture? You probably think of me and my biceps. Oh, there's a real man. Am I right? I don't want to flaunt them. There isn't much to flaunt. Real men are changed men. I don't care how bulked up or not they are. They're in the eyes of God, a real man is a changed man. Different from what we used to be. Thank God he can take a man and save his soul and change him. That's why these two verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, if any man's saved, he's a new creature. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed. Changed men, men that are changed by God, are real men in the eyes of God. I don't care what the world thinks, you know. You know, real is defined as genuine, authentic, true, pure, not artificial or counterfeit. So, in the eyes of God, it's a real man is the changed man on the inside. It's not the outside. God declares in the Word of God that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I changed. And we're still changing. And we're always to be changing, to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be more like Jesus. Is your Christianity real? I know what we all see here. What you see here. We know what we appear to be. Is your Christianity real? Is it artificial? Is it just on the outside? Why should Christian men be real? Because churches are led by men, families are led by men, by God's plan. It says anybody in the home that needs to be a real man, it's the head of the household, the dad, the father, the husband. He needs to be changed. There was a time when I was a husband and father, and I was not changed. In the eyes of God, I was not a real man to lead my family. It was by His grace and His forgiveness and His mercy that He forgave me and changed me. I became a new creature in Christ. I'm so thankful. And my family has benefited some great degree. God doesn't use phonies. He can't. He's holy. By the way, He reproduces. We reproduce what we are. You know, way back in Genesis, the Bible says in Genesis 1, 21 to 25, let me read you. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. We reproduce what we are. So if we're not real, if we're fake, we can expect the same. The impact God wants us to have on others is being real and having the effect to make others real. After their own kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I'm dropping down to verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind. And cattle after their kind. And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. It's good. God created. They reproduce what they are. Dogs reproduce dogs, cats produce cats, and contrary to Darwin's theory, monkeys do not produce man. Monkeys produce monkeys. Man produces man. Real Christians reproduce real Christians or have that effect on others that they're supposed to have. There's no faking it. For the hand of God to be upon you and I, we must be real, surrendered. Real Christian men are genuinely concerned about God and others, not self. It's a sign of maturity. Self's out of the picture. If you find yourself always looking for somebody's approval, or you've got to say what you've did so they can hear you and know, you're missing out. It's God's approval that you and I are to seek. For him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's transformed. He's changed. And when a man is truly born again, he is changed, and he is changed by the power of God. Some changes are immediate. Other changes come over time by the word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, we mentioned earlier. As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, that you may change. Our little infants become little toddlers, become little children, become teenagers, become adults. Change. Growth. 2 Peter 3:18, we're told, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. We talked Sunday school about the fact you got to be in the Bible. You got to be praying. There's got to be some tapping off of God. And it comes from the Bible. The changes are to be evident. Your actions, your affections, your values. One of the most changed men we see in the Bible, who was as real as you can get, was the Apostle Paul. I'll take a few minutes to review Paul. From what he was to who he became. And by the way, it should be evident in your life too. What you were, what you have become, and to be more Christ-like as you move forward. Always changing. Be real. Men and women alike. All of us, God has that expectation. So I want to look at Paul. We're going to look in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9 this morning. Acts chapter 9. I'd say that I'll be brief, but why lie? I will preach fast, so you'll listen fast. Then we might get these several points in. It's not deep theology here. But I want us to look at Paul and see what God did to him and how that he wants to make those changes in us too. Now, first of all, we start with Paul when he first began. Paul the terror. Paul the terror. We first hear Paul, or Saul, his Hebrew name, as used in Acts chapter 9, as he watched on as Stephen, chapter 7, the first recorded Christian martyr, was stoned to death, verse 58 of Acts 7, and cast him out of the city, Stephen, and stoned him. They killed him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul, Paul, the terror. People feared him. Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Unto Stephen's death, his martyrdom. Right in front of him. Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They grieved over the loss of Stephen. A mighty, one of the first deacons who preached Christ. He was a man of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost. And they murdered him for it. And Saul stood there. In fact, he took the garments of those who did the deed. Matthew Henry says this. Now, the stoning of a man was a laborious piece of work. The witnesses took off their upper garments that they might not hang in their way. And they laid them down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, who, now a pleased spectator of this tragedy. It is the first time we find mention of his name. We shall know it and love it better when we find it changed to Paul. Saul was his Hebrew name, but as he was called of God to minister, to preach to the Gentiles, he used his Roman name, Paul. Paul. And him changed. He was changed from a persecutor into a preacher. This little instance of his agency in Stephen's death, his small part, he afterwards reflected upon with regret. Acts 22, let me read you these couple of verses. Paul reflecting on before he was saved, when he was a terror, and he held the clothes of those who murdered Stephen. Acts 22, verse 19 says, "And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him," the clothing. You know, I know, but we're saved now. We look back with regret on some things. But we rejoice in our God who changed us, who cleaned us up and dusted us off and washed us in the blood of Christ. They'll be made righteous before the Father. And he's got a job for us to do. And here Paul is doing a job now. But he was a terror. People were scared of him. He had received authority from the high priest to arrest Christians everywhere. Notice now Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters." He asked of them letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, "that if he found any of this way Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." He's going to arrest them. He had the official papers from the high priest. He's on his road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. And we'll talk about what he meets on the way. But he's got papers now. He can arrest any Christian he sees. And people knew it. And people were afraid of him. Paul was an extremist. He was a terror to all Christians. Verse 3 of Acts 8. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." And that word gets around quick. And I tell you, you keep your door locked and you want to know who's knocking at the door, because it could be Saul and his men with him to take you, your wife. He was a terror. Well, that was Paul before he met Christ. By the way, how were you before you met Christ? Some of you were a terror in various ways. You've shared before, "I can't believe you. You are such bad people." Well, in the eyes of God, I wasn't much better. All just a bunch of sinners on our way to hell. Paul the terror, but Paul changed. That's the crux of the message, that he changed. He went from Paul the terror to Paul the terrified. God knows how to get your attention. Notice now verses 3 to 9 with me, Acts 9. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished." Remember Paul the terror? He's now Paul the terrified. God got his attention. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man." He was blind. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there, he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." For 3 days he was blind. Blinded by the light, whatever. That'll make you think. And he was astonished. He was scared. He was terrified. Paul was blinded by the light, dropped to his knees, trembled. He'd met Almighty God. Know for sure that Paul was scared straight. In fact, it's funny because verse 11 speaks of the street straight, called straight, the name Straight Street in Damascus. Does God ever scare people into a decision today? Is fear a legitimate means to convince people that they need to trust Christ as Savior? Or do we hide the fact that there's a real hell from them? You know what Jude 22 and 23 says this, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I mean, you tell somebody about hell, and many have a testimony and say, I got scared, I got saved because I was scared of going to hell. Some are drawn by the love of Christ, the forgiveness and mercy. All well and good. Whatever God uses to change you, to get your attention, and for some is fear. Let me tell you, it's good to have fear of God. Proverbs 2:5 says, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Fear. He's God and you're not. He's in charge, you're not. You may think you're in control, and most people in the world think they're in control. They're not. God's in control. The devil thinks he's in control, and he's not. He does only what God has allowed him, that license, that liberty that he has during this time. That'll come to an end too. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know why I departed from a lot of evil as I was growing up? Because I feared my dad. And it was good for me. It was a healthy fear. Oh, he loved me. He'd play ball with me. He'd hug me. We'd laugh. It was all wonderful. But let me tell you something. If I did wrong, I knew I had the wrath of dad coming. I feared it, and it was good for me. You know what's good for you? For me? Fear the Lord. It'll change your behavior. Cause you to do right. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Paul was indeed terrified. God got his attention, and God changed him forever. So it's funny how you go from Paul the terror, you know, he's the guy carrying a big stick, to now the terrified, someone else has a bigger stick. Would to God that man would know that and fear God and come to Christ. Well, then he became Paul the transformed. What does that mean, transformed? Changed. He's changed. You got saved, you got changed. You changed, didn't you? What indication is there that Paul trusted Christ and submitted to him as his Lord and Savior? Well, verse 6 of Acts 9 says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? True trust and transformation leads to submission and obedience. I'll say it again. True trust and transformation, real change, leads to submission and obedience. You don't say you're saved and you keep living the same way you always lived. You didn't submit. You may say you changed, but you didn't change. Your change is proven. It's acted out. It's demonstrated in your submission to Almighty God. Shouldn't we demonstrate our trust and transformation by total submission and surrender to Jesus as Lord of our lives? Thus, Romans chapter 12. We read verse 2. John read it earlier. But verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Paul's talking. By leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, I beg you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. The carnal man doesn't think that's reasonable. Hey, I'll live my life. Let me do a little time Sunday morning, give you an hour, maybe two. If I'm real spiritual, I'll do 2 hours. Okay, the rest of the time, the rest of the week's mine. No. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means you're all his, all the time. And God says, that's your reasonable service. Man says, that's unreasonable. But in the submission and the surrender to Almighty God comes all the blessings of God, the joy, the peace, the strength, the courage, everything you need in life. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove it as a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God be changed. And then you'll do what you need to do for him. Paul indeed changed. He was transformed. Knowing of Paul's previous reputation, Ananias wasn't too excited about meeting with him. But at God's direction, he did. Look now with me, verse 10, Acts 9. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. So we know what Paul's doing now these 3 days when he can't see. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And now he's entered into a prayer life. Verse 12, and Paul hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. He was arresting all the Christians and having them killed. And you want me to go see him? And he's blind? I'm to give him back his sight? You'll give him his sight through me going? How about if we just leave him blind? But no, Ananias had changed. The carnal man would say that, but no, Ananias has changed. But he was fearful of him. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And boy, did Paul suffer in the course of his life for the cause of Christ. But he was changed. Changed. You know what? He became a chosen vessel, and that's no different than you and I. The day you got saved, the day you changed. One of the things he wants you to do is bear the name of Jesus Christ. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. You don't do that when I'm handing out tracts or talking to people. May I say, real men witness. Real women hand out tracts. Because they're compelled to within. He forgave me of all my sins, saved my soul, gave me a home in heaven, and will keep that to myself. Now I've got to share that with others. Outreach, VBS, outreach. Reaching others with Christ. If we're transformed. Paul was transformed. He started preaching. God saved us to serve. We're to be changed from serving self to serving God and man. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, in good works. Why? Because we're changed. Good works for others, not good works for me, for us. Paul's transformation was so evident, his values, his affections. Notice his statement in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. I love this portion of the scripture. I mention it with regularity on purpose because it tells of a man's change, his heart. Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10. But what things were gained to me, in other words, all the things I used to think that was important to have, to gain, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing matters to me anymore. Nothing is of lasting value than knowing Christ as my Savior. He continues. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the Jew, of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith. You're saved by faith. I get saved because I believe. No other reason. Verse 10, he continues, that I may know him. I thought he already got saved. Yes, he's saved. He knows him. What's he talking about, that I may know him? The power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. What's he talking about? It's knowing him on a deeper level. Never get satisfied with your relationship with Christ. Be thankful for it, but never be satisfied. Want to know him more. The more you know him, the more you'll be like him. You pursue that, to be conformed to the image of his son. Romans 8:29. And that was Paul. That's Paul talking. He was saved, and he was changed, and he's still changing. And God expects us to be changed also. Hey, was your transformation evident when you got saved? Did people see a difference? Did people know? Did people say, what's up with you? What's the matter with you? What's up? What's going on? Do they do it still? Is it still evident in your life? You're not the man or woman you used to be. You've been transformed. You've been changed. That's what God needs in us. And so I'll close with this. I have several other points. We'll close with this one. He was the terror. He was the terrified. But he was Paul the transformed. One more. Paul the testimony. Had a testimony. We're to have a testimony. Look at 17 to 22. We're in Acts 9, 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was fed, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. When did he preach Christ? Straightway. That means right away. He started in, man. He didn't wait, well, I got this. I got to go to Bible college first. Then I can start to talk to people about Jesus. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. This is the Christ of God. One of the first things Paul did was to be baptized. Verse 18. Why? Public identification with Christ. You're saved, not baptized, get baptized. Make it public. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed of Christ in your identity with him. Was Paul's public testimony necessary? Absolutely. Yours and mine are too. God's not interested in closet Christians. What's one of the first things that a new believer should do? Get baptized. Publicly identify with Christ. What's another thing a new Christian should be doing? Witnessing. And when it came to sharing the gospel, Paul let her fly, man. He started preaching and teaching Christ every opportunity. He was a preaching machine. Beyond our baptism within the four walls of the church, we are to publicly testify of Christ. And Paul himself said, and recorded in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not ashamed. Let me ask you something. Because I think you and I would be lying if there weren't times when we feel a little bit intimidated and we don't go forth with either a track or conversation because of who it is or the circumstances. Why is that? Because part of us still in the flesh. We had time to consider the moment, what Christ did for us. We start shouting, hey, take this. Let me talk to you. But that intimidation, we're concerned about how we appear, what we look like, and yet we've been called, we've been chosen vessels to share Jesus with others. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. People were amazed when Paul testified for Christ. What a change. This was the guy who was imprisoning and standing as Stephen was murdered. Verse 21 again. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he who destroyeth them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? He came here to Damascus. He came to arrest people, bring them back to Jerusalem, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. They were all amazed. Let me ask you something. Anybody amazed with you? I'm not saying that you become the focal point, that you're amazing. But have they seen a change? That you were transformed? And that you have a testimony? And your testimony is public. And yes, you'll use your mouth, you'll use tracts, you'll use whatever means to share Jesus. Real men do. Real women do. Because they're transformed, because they're changed, they have a testimony, they have a message to share. Are you changed? Have you been transformed? Maybe you've been saved, but the transformation, which is a progressive thing over time, where are you in the scale, so to speak, of God's expectations? God doesn't expect me to be Paul, doesn't expect you to be Paul. But he does expect that as I am saved, born again, changed, transformed, I continue to change to be more like Jesus. Certainly not to stay still or to go backwards and drift away from God. What makes that? What helps that transformation? That's right there. The Bible, the house of God. These are what God uses to grow me up, grow you up, encourage one another, to reach others for Christ. So, with heads bowed and eyes closed, are you a real man in the eyes of God? Are you a real woman? In other words, you're not fake. You're not out of fit. You're not counterfeit. You're the real deal. And it's been displayed in your life, but maybe we've waned. Maybe we don't have the testimony we used to have. Maybe we're not having the effect, the outreach we used to have. But should we want it that we might reach others? I'm so glad that somebody reached me because they cared. Father in heaven, I pray now during this time of invitation, that once again, fresh and anew, we would answer the call to the invitation. Having heard from heaven, we're so thankful, Lord.